Welcome to the 222 Paranormal Podcast, starring your very awake hosts right now, Joe and Jen.
It is early morning in the studio. We
I don't think we've ever taped this early ever. Yeah.
So very, very busy day, so we have to record early.
I know. So it's so exciting. I think I have like my Mountain Dew buzz going right now. So, you know, it's starting to kick in. We're starting to get wild and crazy in the studio.
Yeah. So. And hopefully the neighbor next door, we're in my house recording. So hopefully the neighbor next door will not fire up the leaf blower, which he hasn't been doing because he's not feeling well. So maybe.
Well, we'll send positive vibes over to him.
His bad back is my relief from the leaf blower.
Blessings in disguise, Joe. Yeah. Okay, so I got something I got to tell you.
What?
Which you already know, but I'm going to tell everybody.
What?
Something crazy happened at my house. So I come.
Which thing? I mean,
yeah. Which crazy thing in my crazy life? Okay. So I come home from work the other day and it was just getting dusky out, you know, and I was like, oh man, I'm tired. It's a long day, blah, blah, blah. I get out, I walk, and I go to walk into my back porch. I have like a sun porch on the back of the house. And there's this giant skull.
Oh.
The giant skull. This giant skull is half the size of me. It's like 2.5 feet tall. This giant. Somebody left a giant skull in, and I cannot figure out who it was for the longest time.
And it's funny because I
thought it was you.
He sent me the photo, or the person sent me the photo of it. And I thought it was just this small little skull, because in the picture I couldn't tell how big tiny. It was. I get to your house and this thing is giant.
Yeah. I seriously thought it was you because you had come over to cut the grass and I was like laughing. I was like, ah, Joe, what a nut. It wasn't you. And then I thought it was my friend David from Florida because he was up here for a couple weeks. And he's into loves Halloween stuff. And I was like, oh my God. And I was laughing at him. I'm like, you did this. He's like, no, I didn't. I'm like, yeah, you did. He's like, no, I didn't. But I did find out who it was. My goofy other brother from the same mother.
And I tried to give you clues. I said,
it went right over my head.
His name is Will. So I said, I will, in capital letters, not tell you, so do not brother me to ask. And you're just so used to me not being able to spell, so you can figure it out.
Right over my head. And then the dang thing on 4th of July, I went to move it, and it had a sharp edge on it, and it sliced my thumb open.
Yeah, I got cut too when I tried to move it. The thing weighs like 100 pounds.
It does. It was like this stupid thing. So it is going to the curb. I'm afraid to put it out to the curb.
No.
You want it?
No.
Anybody want a giant skull?
I think we should re-gift it.
Oh, yes. For Christmas. Christmas. He's getting it for Christmas. Good idea. So anyways, that was my crazy story of the week.
I have a family heirloom that I'm going to send him. He worked on my countertop. And when he was working on it, he left one of the family heirlooms that has been in the family for 100 years. It's a stick that he used.
What?
It's just this painted stick. And he's like, it's been in the family, which obviously hasn't. So
oh my gosh.
I'm going to send that to him.
Whatever happened to the box of rocks?
It's right there in the closet.
Oh my gosh.
Yep. It's in the closet.
Okay. So for how many years? Like years?
Since around
early 80s, 70s or 80s, somebody in the family for Christmas gets this box of rocks.
Well, no, it all started when I was in high school and our sister was dating her soon-to-be husband. Oh. And I gave him that as a gift, as a box of rocks.
Welcome to the family.
Yep. And we've been passing it back and forth for years. You never know what year you're going to get the rocks.
Oh, my gosh. It's time to unleash the rocks.
Yes. So.
All right.
We have a very interesting show today.
Yes.
Today we're going to do our reveal. We did an investigation at a restaurant here in Toledo that a lot of people know, but
world famous.
The new people, the new generation. They may not know about it because...
The millennials,
because, you know, us old people used to watch MASH, and it was big with MASH. But, no, we did an investigation with Toledo Area Ghost Hunters Society and Haunted Toledo at Tony Paco's. And a lot of you may see Tony Paco's stuff in the stores and stuff, but we did an investigation at the original restaurant.
It was amazing. But if you've ever watched reruns of MASH, Jamie Farr, who played Klinger on the show, made it famous because he would always mention that he wanted Tony Paco's hot dogs.
Yeah.
And they are world famous for their particular type of hot dog. Now, it's not really a hot dog. It's more like a sausage. Uh-huh. It's so good. It's a Hungarian hot dog. It's so good. Oh, my gosh. The best. But
they're known for their pickles.
Yeah. So they...
And their sauces.
Hungarian pickles. Chicken paprikash is one of the main dishes.
Watch your mouth.
Ah, didn't say a bad word. And some other, like, tasty Hungarian treats. But then they also have, like... other type foods in there, you know, they have like hot roast beef sandwich dinners and
it's a regular restaurant, so but good. The big thing is the Hungarian hot dogs. Let's go down this rabbit hole.
Okay.
Me and Jackie used to go and buy cans of the hot dog sauce and sit and make nachos and pour the hot dog sauce on top of the nachos.
Oh my gosh.
And eat till I'm fat.
So, like, everybody's had a Coney dog. So, you know, like, the meaty sauce over, like, a Coney dog. They have their own famous secret recipe. So good. So we,
one of the first lines when Klinger brought it up in MASH is that he used to pick up his girl, take her over to Tony Paco's, and the sauce would run down his arm. You know, that, I forget the exact words that he said in the show, but that was the first time he mentioned Tony Paco was in MASH. And in the show, he would always talk about Tony Paco's. And the one show, they actually ordered from Tony Paco's and had it shipped over to Korea. And
oh, my gosh. It's kind of very interesting and amazing that the writers and the producers at the time would let him, you know, talk about, like... I would love to sit and talk to him and see how he developed that character. Because it's him, you know, it's him, outside of maybe wearing a dress, but, you know.
It's funny because in one of the episodes, he rode home and he said that he's never going to get his Section 8 because he's the only normal one over there and they're all crazy.
I have a postcard from Jamie Farr from like the 70s. Like, do you remember when we were in grade school and you would have like, like those reading contests where you like, you had to read so many books and then you would get points and stuff like that. And I think it was McGruff, the crime dog or something. And it's a postcard with Jamie Farr's picture on it. And it said something like, keep on reading. And it's on my refrigerator right now. It was addressed to me.
Oh, right. Jamie Farr sent it personally to you with his signature stamped on it.
Yeah, exactly. I'll post a picture up after the show airs.
So another thing that Tony Paco's is famous for is the hot dog buns signed by everybody. I mean, they have over 3,000 signed hot dog buns on the walls of Tony Paco's. And the hot dog buns are signed by famous people from film, from sports, to even world leaders, a lot of presidents.
Yeah.
I know Ford and also Clinton signed buns.
Yeah. Hulk Hogan.
Hulk Hogan. Mr. T.
Ava Gabor.
Yeah.
Was on there. Or Zsa Zsa Gabor.
Zsa Zsa.
Zsa Zsa Gabor.
Zsa Zsa. Wah.
I don't think Bruce Lee signed one.
He may have. I don't know.
I don't know. Wouldn't it be cool if we could get a list of all
things? I tried to find a list, but I couldn't find one. Maybe.
But the most famous person who ever signed a bun.
Well, the first.
Okay. So the most popular buns in the Midwest. Okay. So in 1972, Burt Reynolds was starring in a production of The Rainmaker in Toledo. At a auditorium or a theater here. At the suggestion of Tony Paco's daughter, his daughter's name was Nancy, Reynolds stopped by the restaurant to enjoy a meal after one of his shows.
Enjoy a meal?
Come enjoy a meal. This, I think that was like a 70s term. Come enjoy a meal. When asked for his autograph, Reynolds picked up a hot dog bun and signed it. Thus begin the, you know, the tradition of signing the buns, all the celebrities signing the buns.
Did he say, hey, I'm Burt Reynolds. Here's my bun.
He should put his little mustache on it. Oh, hey, Joe, you should put your mustache on it and some buns. All right. Anyways, that's, yeah, just crazy.
That's stash ridiculous.
So I'll just give you a brief history of how this restaurant came about.
Okay.
So Tony Paco, he was the son of Hungarian immigrants, and he was a native of Toledo's East Side. So he was born in 1908. Oh my God.
You can turn my microphone off at any time.
Help me, Jesus. Jesus, take the wheel. Okay, so he grew up near Consol and Genesee Streets. When Tony had learned his restaurateurism, I guess you would call it, from his older brother John, who had owned the Consol Tavern, what is now located at the original Tony Paco's parking lot.
Okay.
So in 1932, Tony and his wife received a $100 loan from their relatives to open a sandwich and ice cream shop. Now, this is like during the Depression. So 1932, that's when our dad was born. Mm-hmm. So that's 86 years ago. You know, that was a lot of money during the Depression. Oh, yeah. I'm sure that was probably what do you think that was in like today's terms during the Depression time? What, 100,000 or?
I don't know.
But so anyways.
It's a lot of money now. Give me a Hummer. $100.
I'll give you $100. Give me $100. So, Tony, his signature sandwich had sausage with sauce on rye. And then he decided to add like a spicy chili to it to like enhance the flavor. So, he used a Hungarian sausage called the Kolbasz, which was so large he decided to cut it in half. So it kind of resembled like the American style hot dog, and he would sell it for 5 cents because times were tough. So, you know, he's giving people a break. And because he was a Hungarian American, he lived in the Hungarian neighborhood. So he just decided to call it the Hungarian hot dog. So those who knew the old country's food, which would say there's no such thing as a Hungarian hot dog, but he invented it. Okay. So that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
So his food was like an instant hit in the neighborhood. You know, it was good, like solid, you know, rib sticking food for at that time. There was probably a ton of, you know, hardworking labor people. You know what I mean? Like, it's Toledo. We were built by hardworking labor people. So word quickly spread around that he had this new hot dog at the restaurant. So in 1935, he decided to buy a building. So they purchased this like wedge-shaped building at the corner of Front and Consol Streets, which over the years just grew to be the original Tony Paco's restaurant.
Yeah, it started out when he bought it was just that little front corner. And it was actually a tin shop, they called it. You know, worked with tins and metals. And different apartments. I mean, the whole place was, if you go in there now, you kind of can tell where all the apartments were because it's not like a perfectly square building. Yeah. So as the business grew and placed and other businesses moved out, he would buy that business and tear down the wall. So the place just kept growing.
Yeah.
Which plays a big role in the hauntings of it.
Yeah, definitely. So, you know, there was an old photograph of it back, and it was like a large factory along that road with big, you know, like huge, those old factory windows.
Yeah.
So, a lot of changes over the years.
Oh, yeah.
All right. So now the haunting aspect of it, Joseph.
Yeah. So the folklore of the hauntings, employees see shadow figures a lot, both tall and short.
Show it like me. Shoddy.
There's an apparition of a little girl that plays in the basement. And they also hear sounds of children playing and laughing in the basement.
Okay.
Okay. When obviously no one's in there. It's the old wooden floors, so they hear a lot of footsteps, mm-hmm. creaking, you know, just different sounds in there. And one of the big things is back when it was a tin shop, mm-hmm. there was a murder.
Yep.
So I know you know more about that than okay. I do. But.
So the owners of the factory had a daughter, and this is just kind of my recollection of it. I don't have all the historical facts, but this is why just not? Kind of the
you should have all the facts.
The legend. So the daughter had married this guy, and he was very abusive and alcoholic. They lived down the street in a house, like four houses down.
Okay.
From the factory that her parents owned. So they moved in, I believe they moved into one of the apartments that was above the factory, and this guy was beating her one night. And like beating her up pretty bad. And her brother came to her rescue.
Okay.
And killed the husband.
Yeah.
I think he stabbed him. I'm not sure.
Okay.
Threw him down a flight of steps. Something like that.
Yeah. So there was definitely, there was a murder in the apartment upstairs.
Yeah. And, you know, over the years, I'm sure there's people, it's one of the oldest areas mm-hmm. in Toledo. So, you know, you have a lot of people moving in and out, deaths. You know, natural or otherwise. It's right across from the river.
Yeah.
So you have the water element. You know, it's probably formerly Native American land mm-hmm. because we were right on the Maumee River.
Yeah.
Which, you know, the whole, you know, Ohio along the river had a long history mm-hmm. of being, you know, the great, what did they call it? Great Black Swamp.
Yeah.
Okay. Toledo's known for.
And there was also in that area, I'm probably going to bitch. Not say the right name, but it was like a shanty town. Mm. And during the Depression, that whole area was full of immigrants that lived down by the river in these little tiny huts.
Wow.
I've seen pictures of it, and it literally looks like just cardboard boxes, but they obviously weren't back then. But imagine like a refrigerator box mm-hmm. or something of that size, and these people were living there. And that was all along that part of the river right there.
Okay.
So you have a lot of history in that area mm-hmm. of fights, murders, suicide. You gambling. Have all that. And
gambling.
Oh, gambling. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. So, yeah, that's one of the main things is that murder that it's the only one that they can account for. But mm-hmm. I'm sure in that neighborhood around there, years of it.
And it used to be, they used to have a stage and there yeah. they would have music and dancing.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's good memories, you know,
and that's one of
attached
the,
to it. So
yeah. Happy times.
You know,
that was one of the big things that the guy that we talked to mentioned is they would hear music
mm-hmm.
playing mm-hmm. and people dancing.
Yeah.
Even though there's just tables there now.
Yeah.
So that's.
Well, it's wood floor. So there's mm-hmm. probably a lot of residual energy
yeah.
of like. You know, like, think about it, like in the 40s or 50s going, that's what they did. They went out and went dancing.
Yeah.
And it's not like people do that anymore they since Club Soda closed. Oh, I think it's back open, but anyways. Yeah, so, yeah.
So, yeah, there's all kinds. I mean, it's a hotbed of activity that the workers, mm-hmm. and for years, a lot of the workers all say, not all, but, you know, mm-hmm. they all say that, the place is haunted.
And then you have the original Tony Paco, who's since passed on. Mm-hmm. I'm sure he probably is hanging out, watching yeah. over things, make sure they're cooking the sauce right.
And one thing that would stir that up is the family feud.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're actually fighting over the restaurant. They've been, I found counts back in 2010 when the family was fighting over the restaurant.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of strife going on.
Sure. I mean, anytime you get family and money and, mm-hmm. you know, can stir a lot of emotions.
Oh, yeah.
People, you know.
One of the recent things that happened, and this will play a big role in our Avila session, is there was a truck that crashed into the front of the building. And if you go online, you can find the news reports and everything and see the cheesy pictures of the people back. Well, it's not that old, but it sure seems like it.
Yeah, it's coming up on the anniversary.
Yeah.
So
it was August 1st, 2014 so at 7:30 in the morning.
So what actually happened?
Well, there was a truck. I mean, it's an industrial area.
Mm-hmm.
It's by, you know, the road there, Front Street, goes down to the Toledo Ship yards.
Oh, okay.
You know, the docks and all that. So there was a truck driving towards the docks. So if you're standing in front of Paco's, it'd be stage left, okay. I guess, you know what
yeah.
I say?
Yeah.
And the one morning, the truck was just coming down the street, and all of a sudden just turned and smashed into the front of the building. And what reports have said is that the driver had a heart attack and actually passed away before he hit the building. You know, that's what, as far as I can tell, the reports. Now, on the news stories, they say, yeah, he's at the hospital, and that, but like we were saying earlier, they're not going to say that he died until on the news.
Until they notified the family.
So that was a big one. The truck driver actually died in the intersection, because front and console is the intersection. It's almost like he died in the intersection, slumped over, the wheel turned, and he ran into Paco's.
Yeah. Because he kind of, didn't it kind of go through, like, I don't know if it was like a cement, what do you call those? Like a pylon or something?
No, I don't think there was one there. I don't know.
I can't remember. But I remember it kind of just was unique because it went right into the corner.
The corner of the building was not a door. But if you look at the pictures of it, you'll see he actually missed a fire hydrant.
That's what it was.
There was a fire hydrant that he just missed, but he had no control over the build of the truck. And the whole cab up to the back tires was inside the building. And they couldn't just pull the truck out of the building because it's such an old building that they're worried about it falling down and everything.
Well, so did it run into the bar as well? Because like that corner is like the bar area.
Yeah.
Okay.
Imagine a semi all the way up to the back wheels inside the building.
I can't imagine that.
And it was at 7:30 in the morning, so there was no one
there. Thank goodness there was nobody there. Yeah. You know, I mean.
I don't know if there was like a manager there getting stock or whatever. But nobody was in the building where it crashed, luckily.
Yeah, because if people were sitting at the bar, they would have been.
Oh, if this was at like 7 at night.
Yeah.
It would have took out a lot of people.
Well, you know, everything happens for a reason, I think.
Yeah.
Okay, so on to what actually happened in our investigation.
Yeah, it was very interesting.
I had a great time. That was my first time I've ever been there, I think. I can't remember if I had ever been there before.
It's funny, we live in Toledo, but yeah.
Maybe as a kid, I don't remember. But as an adult, probably I hadn't, you know, 30 years. It smelled so good in there. I should have had a hot dog or something before we got the party started.
Well, we got invited to do an investigation with Toledo Area Ghost Hunters Society, and also Haunted Toledo came along.
Chris Tillman. Hey, Chris. Hey, Chris. Hey.
Which, by the way, if you go up on YouTube and type in Tony Paco's Haunted Toledo, Chris has got a really cool 2-minute video on it.
Yeah. So we'll post that on our page when the show comes out.
Yeah. But yeah, we were asked by Togues.
Yeah, Togues.
It's early, folks.
I know.
I'm usually not up this early. I'm a night.
We're doing our best.
I'm a night person. Oh. But anyhow.
You're a night owl.
Yeah. Woo. So we get there and everybody's there, and we had a little impromptu meeting while the employees cleaned up and everything. Mm-hmm.
So we got there at what, like 10:30?
Yeah.
It closes at 11, so we were probably going to start about 11:30 or so. And we got there, you know, just as it was closing. It smelled so good, I wanted to eat everything. And so what was your first impression when you walked in? Because I don't know if you had ever been there before.
I've been there once before, a long time ago.
Okay.
I ate there back when I used to eat meat.
Yes.
I had the hot dog. But I walked in, and whenever I go into a place for an investigation, I kind of walk in with that open mind and also with the anticipation of seeing something.
Yeah.
You know, so I walked in and I kind of looked around the place and looked at the different things. And when you walk in there, you definitely get the feel of, to me, was like the old time.
The history.
Like the 1930s type place, because that's what it looks like.
Yeah.
But yeah, we all met. And we had a little, what do you want to call it, like a history lesson on the place. Yeah. And then he took us around and showed us all the different places that the public doesn't see, like the basement and the kitchen and all that stuff. And then we find our base area, which is kind of in a loft. We're going to set up our home base there. As we're setting up, all of a sudden you hear in the broom closet, a huge bang.
Yeah.
Almost like a mop bucket being kicked over.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and it's interesting because the only two employees left were the manager and the, I think it was the assistant manager. Mm-hmm. Everybody else had gone home for the night.
Yeah.
So, and being the doors that we were locked.
Yeah. I was going to say, we were locked
in.
They locked us in. So, yeah, everybody left, and then we made sure we did kind of, it wasn't like a walkthrough, but kind of a walk around to make sure everybody's gone.
Mm-hmm.
But that was so wild. That was the first thing is all of a sudden there's a huge bang. So the manager went over in the closet that the sound came from, and nothing was moved. Nothing was knocked over.
Wow.
And I was thinking, well, okay, is it an animal? But no, it's in the middle of the building because it's the cleanup closet.
Yeah.
If somebody has a mess, they just grab the stuff and clean up. So that was our first indication of something that's going to be an interesting night.
After we got they got their equipment set up. Joe and I just had some handheld equipment. We separated. So it was two groups. So you went with Harold and Butch and a few other, and then I went with Michelle and Chris from Haunted Toledo down to the basement.
Yeah,
so
I stayed up in the main bar.
You guys started at the main level, and then we went down to the basement. When we went down there, it was interesting because it's kind of split into two sections. You know, it's an old basement. I'm sure it's probably, you know, close to 85 to 100 years old.
Oh, yeah.
And so they had a giant refrigeration unit down there on one side, shelving with, you know, glasses, you know, all the type of restaurant type things that you would need. Very low ceiling, you know, because it's an old basement, which was interesting. Now, part of it kind of went higher. And so the one section, they have a storage closet that they keep locked. Now, they see shadow figures in that. Mm-hmm. I didn't see anything personally, but other people have reported seeing it.
That's the gift shop. That's why it's locked. It's the gift shop storage unit.
Okay.
And that's a very active part of the building.
Yeah. So I started off on the section to the right in there. Just we were asking some questions, doing EVP session. Didn't really get anything. Saw a couple little flashes of light here and there towards the back. And then once we went around to the other side where the little girl has been known to appear, we had the laser grid out.
Mm-hmm.
And she is known to like kind of like play in that area, peek her head out around this giant freezer type thing. Now, I never walked all the way back to where the freezer, it kind of like goes around because I was a little scared. But but I did hear her giggle at one point. Now, we heard it. Harold heard it because he had come down at one point. But I didn't catch, I don't know if I caught it on tape or not because I forgot to review the tape. My digital recorder.
That's understandable, seeing that the last, I mean, I last still haven't 6 weeks
we've Gettysburg been, yeah. either. Oh my God, that was like months ago. But I did audibly hear it.
Okay.
While I was standing there. I tried to communicate with her. So I sat on the floor, you know, because I want to go down to a child's level. So I sat on the dusty, dirty floor and tried to get her to come over close to me. I didn't feel anything. I put some trigger objects out. I brought a little dolly and thought maybe she would be interested in the dolly. Now, somebody, I think, thought they saw her peek or a shadow peek out from behind this refrigerator unit. And then somebody ended up going back there. I don't know if they got any evidence when they did, but it was just interesting to hear that little, and it was just a slight like that, you know, laugh, and I was like, oh my goodness, that was cool as hell. I hope I got it on tape. But just very interesting. Now, that's the only thing that I experienced down there.
Okay.
Didn't get any knocks. Was trying, you know, like the shaving and the haircut 2 bits.
Yeah.
I think I tried that once or twice, but it didn't get any response.
Which is interesting because one of the rooms in the main floor was a barbershop. So
I forgot about that.
Yeah, it's where the dance floor was.
Okay.
That was the barbershop.
At one time it was a barbershop. Mm-hmm. Oh, interesting. So what happened when you guys were on the upper level or in the main?
I got some interesting stuff. Okay. We were upstairs and it just started our investigation. And I kept hearing banging noises over at the bar. Now, we shut everything off. The only thing that stayed running was the ice machine in the middle of the room, which was loud. Yeah. That thing banged a lot. We knew that sound. We established that sound. Mm-hmm. And it's like everybody, when it happened, nobody jumped or nothing because everybody knew it. But I kept hearing these banging noises up at the bar. Almost sounded like stuff being thrown in the sink.
Mm-hmm.
Like the beer bottles when you set them on top of the bar.
Mm-hmm.
That sound.
Okay.
So I'm like, okay. So I told everybody, I'm like, I'm going to go up to the bar and I'm going to record those sounds so we can figure out what they are. I walked up to the bar.
Mm-hmm.
And now this is after it closed and they had all the mats, the floor mats,
mm-hmm.
piled up in the at the end of the bar.
Okay.
Which was like a giant rubber pile.
Okay.
So I walked over and I stood on that so I didn't make any noise. When I walked up to the bar, all those noises stopped. Okay. And I stood there for a good half hour in that one spot with the recorder going and just watching. I don't know if it's just my mind playing tricks on me, but you can see right into the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
I saw shadow figures Ooh. Going back and forth in the kitchen.
Nice.
But the weird thing is that all those noises stopped when I walked up there. Okay. And I hung out up there for a little bit. And I thought, okay. So I walked back to the other side of the bar or the main
mm-hmm.
room. We were getting cold spots.
Ooh.
And, you know, obviously you get a cold spot, you look up, there's no ventilation, stuff mm-hmm. like that. And when I was on the other side of the room, the banging started getting in the bar. I'm like, come on.
Maybe they thought you were the bouncer.
Yeah.
They were trying to behave.
One of the other things that happened while I was standing up there is the register
mm-hmm.
was completely shut off and it turns itself on.
Oh my gosh.
Okay. But the neat thing was, the banging sound stopped. The computer turned on. You know, there was some really weird stuff that happened. And I asked the manager, I'm like, does that turn on by itself? He's like, no. You know, and that happened in the gift shop too.
Yeah.
When we were in the gift shop, if you remember, the register turned itself on. Other than that, though, nothing in the main room. There's when you're in the room there and you walk in, there's like a little room off to the side that you have to step up to. There's a three step.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
That used to be an apartment.
Okay.
And they knocked the wall down. And they, it's funny because a lot of people don't realize this. And I don't know if I should be putting this out, but it's all taken apart. But when you sit in the benches
mm-hmm.
in the back of that room, you're actually sitting, the plumbing is still there for their toilets that were there. It used to be the bathroom.
That's funny.
So.
That's the one area I didn't get up in.
They get a lot.
I should have went up there.
There's a lot of activity in that space.
Hmm.
That's one of the more haunted places in that building.
All right.
But the big thing is the gift shop. Now, this is where we got 90% of our stuff from that night. The gift shop is one of the most haunted places in the building. The manager, he runs the gift shop.
Mm-hmm.
That's his baby, he says. And he was in the restaurant one night, and he saw a customer in the gift shop looking around. And he the way he describes it, like, I ran over to help him, and they disappeared when he walked up.
How cool is that?
He actually, because the gift shop is, it's another part of the building that was in another room, and mm-hmm. they opened it up. So there's one way in, one way out. There's just one door, and it's just a standard 30-inch wide door.
Yeah, it's just a, you know, tiny gift shop. It's not.
It's like a closet.
Yeah.
And he walked in, and the person that was in there disappeared.
That is too cool.
So he saw a full body apparition in there.
Could have been Tony.
Below the gift shop,
mm-hmm.
in the storage area the gift shop,
mm-hmm.
in the basement,
mm-hmm.
they see apparitions also.
Mm.
So that's why I say the gift shop is very haunted.
Interesting.
Haunted. We were in there.
Mm-hmm.
And after a while, we... Joe and Jen. Me and Jen right there, that broad. We were in the gift shop, and all of a sudden, we started getting activity.
Yeah.
So we got out the obelisk,
mm-hmm.
and we got some very interesting, things on the obelisk. It answered our questions. We had a 30-minute conversation,
mm-hmm.
and I condensed it down to 11 minutes. We're going to play it for you.
Okay.
Now, you'll be able to hear me talking. You'll be able to hear Jen talking. you'll be able to hear it answering
through the ovulus.
Through the ovulus. Yeah.
So I think it didn't speak, did it? Translated.
Well, no, it would say the word. You would hear it saying the word, but the problem with that is
I think I repeated it though, so you would hear it. Yeah.
The problem with the ovulus is when it says a word, it's not really clear. And then you read it.
Yeah.
So I'm going to play that for you guys right now.
Okay.
Listen to it close. And you'll hear, I'll call Harold into the room. Mm-hmm. And the funny thing is, you'll notice that when Harold came in the room, all activity stopped. Sorry, Harold. Sorry. But he was the anti-ghost magnet like I'm usually. But anyhow, take a listen to this and listen close. And then we'll be right back.
There's talking in the background, just note that. Harold's talking in the background.
Can you tell us your name?
Between property. Between property.
What room are we in?
Fifteen.
Is that the address?
Are we 15 feet between the properties?
What building are you in? Jen has a device that we can hear you say words in. She's out there right now, but she can still hear you. Okay, she's back.
I'm back. Is there any way you can give us more words on this? It's a great way to communicate and we can hear what you have to say.
If you're in the building next door, you can yell over here. We can hear you.
Tony, are you here? Do you miss cooking and working every day? Is that your thing? Name? Main spot. So this was your main spot?
This is
the main. I know that there are other locations.
I don't remember his wife's name, but this was her favorite spot.
Oh.
I can't remember your name. I don't understand that one. Do you have to climb up to get into this half of the building?
Somebody climbing up the basement stairs coming towards us? Do we have anything to fear here?
I'm going to go get someone that knows your name. I'll be right back. Someone said that this is their main spot.
So we got main spot.
And
on the ovulus.
15 foot in between buildings.
Is it between?
Or between space?
Between property?
Property. Between property.
Do you remember his wife's name? What was her name? You said she liked the merchandise?
Oh, no, that was Nancy Paco. She's the daughter of the original.
Over there.
That's the computer did that over by the...
Was that the computer?
Moist. It doesn't moist.
I beg your pardon. You don't know. What?
Apple. Moist apple.
Moist apple.
We don't have any apples in here. We have tomatoes. 15 foot in between buildings.
Yeah, so between...
I don't know what the... The building that used to be here was connected to this wall. There wasn't a gap that I'm aware of. Huh.
Oh, okay. Oh, hi.
Yeah, what was that?
Come on in.
Was there like a flash?
The motion detector went off, and then this went off.
But no, now it's not sending out a signal. So if you're in the room with us, can you say your name? We'll hear you on the machine.
You probably see me all the time in here. I'm in here a lot.
Sold. Kiss.
No thank you. My wife wouldn't appreciate it.
Sold. Kiss. Pass. Pass on a kiss?
Yeah, yes. Yes. No thank you.
Did you come to the bar to meet someone to kiss?
Hours.
Spend a lot of time here?
Mm.
Yes.
Wide. Disaster.
Did you by chance? Hey, Harold, you want to stop in here for a sec?
Someone say my name?
Yes.
Oh, Jesus, I thought I was being called into the gift shop.
Did you crash into this building? Do you remember crashing into this building?
Were you in a truck?
I'm going to get a piece of equipment. I'll be right back, right?
Yes. Who's smoking a cigar?
It's right there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I told them earlier that they're allowed to smoke in here if they want.
Horse.
Does it smell like a horse? Does his cigarette smell like a horse? So once again, I know that you said you were in this building, but 15 foot away. Did you come closer to us? Was this your favorite spot?
Do we think we're communicating with the truck driver?
We had some odd things.
Is it disaster earlier?
Disaster?
Although.
And then it said, or before it said that it is 15 feet between spaces.
Property.
Or property. 15 foot between property.
Yeah.
And we asked if this is your favorite spot.
It said Maine.
Maine.
Do you need to turn the light on? Who's got the ambulance?
Jen does.
Yes.
Okay. It didn't say Paul either, James, did it?
Yes.
This work. What's the properties behind it?
I'll go get a light.
It usually.
What did it say?
Business.
Keep going. Just keep talking. I'm going to bring back another piece of wood. Okay.
Gas business scene.
Did you see Paco's up ahead of you as you were driving?
Yep.
15 feet would have been too close for him to have stood up conscious, I think.
I want to do this at 200, guys, all right? That way there's no possible way. What it's going to do is it's going to scan 200 stations, all right, a minute. So if it says two words together, that's really highly unlikely, right? So I'm going to do 200. Hit my scan button.
Get
what?
What do you want us to get?
Don't say outlook.
Sweet. There it goes.
Okay, let's see if we get any connection, Jen, right?
Okay.
Once again, my name's Harold. I'm with Jen. I think Mike is with us, isn't he?
Yep.
Looks like Crystal and Chris and Jen and Joe are here. Maybe you were working the ovulus that Jen's holding on. This is also a spirit box. It's scanning radio frequencies, 200 stations a minute. Perfect way for you to communicate with us, though, if you'd like to. Can you hear me speaking? What am I doing? You're the one that had success with that. Why don't I give this to Jen? All right, I'm going to give this to Jennifer. Can you see me? Can you approach me? There's your speaker. Can you see it? Here, go ahead, hold this. Give that to Jim and see if, wait, see if it says a word. Give it to Jim and then see if it says the same word to Jim that it'll say to you.
Okay. Do you want me to start?
Just quit talk.
Okay. You said earlier that you were between properties. Do you go back and forth between the house that you used to live in and here? Do you and your wife come and visit and check on all the patrons? Would you ever want us to change the recipe? The 85th anniversary is coming up. Are you excited that your business is still in business after 85 years? Do you enjoy watching all the people that come in from out of town and all the celebrities that stop in and sign the buns?
I think we scared them.
Somebody's talking? Did you guys hear a voice?
That was
me. I'm sorry. Okay. Yeah, I think,
Joe Pesci.
Maybe too many people now.
Yeah.
Is there too many people in here?
I'm going to leave because I was just thinking the same thing. I'm thinking the back to my spirit box with me.
That's
our hair. You want it to go faster?
You know,
so. Here, can I see it?
Is indirect a word that it pulled up, or is that just like something else?
Can I see it?
It says indirect.
That's a word.
Okay, I mean that pulled. It says get. Remember, it said get. Zoo was their next word.
Right, I'm going to get out of here while you guys are having success without me.
Why zoo?
Because place is a zoo, Jim.
Yeah,
you know
that. Yeah,
too
many people made for a zoo.
Right.
That's not doing anything.
Are you the shadow figure that's seen out of the corner of the eye?
Before it was actually talking.
It's, what I have on here is get zoo indirect. Why the zoo? It's a, you mean the Toledo Zoo or that this place is a zoo? It can be a zoo sometimes. Are you still there?
You can come back in the room now.
So?
Wow, amazing.
It was so cool that we got the responses like that. In my mind, I feel that we were talking to three people.
I do too. Tony, the original Tony Paco.
Yeah.
The truck
driver. During the session, I was like, thought it was the girl Nancy who loved that. But then I thought, well, wait a minute. Why would Nancy say it's the main spot?
No.
So I think we were talking to Tony.
Yeah.
I really do. And then,
just our opinion, people. Don't sue us.
And then I think we were talking to a girl that came by the bar to pick men up.
Yeah. You never know. It could have been, you know, just somebody who lived in the neighborhood. Could have been a working girl. Could have just been somebody who just hung out there. They felt like, you know, that maybe that was their second home. You know how, like, you have your home bar, like, you know, you go to where you're familiar, your own Cheers, I guess you would call it.
But. Because I forget his name, sorry, but the manager came in and it said Moist Apple, which is weird. And then it said sold a kiss. And then when he said no, it said pass.
Yeah, she didn't want to kiss him. She's like, pass on you.
Yeah, pass on you. I'm going to the next one.
That was cool, though. Yeah, but just
and
that.
She was in there for hours at it because you asked, you know, did you spend a lot of time here? Mm-hmm. And it said hours.
I know. Who does? So, you know, who doesn't want to go sit in a bar and have a couple drinks for a couple hours? It sounds delicious right now at 9 o'clock in the morning.
And pick up redheads.
Huh. There you go, Joe.
But then. I seriously think we're talking to the truck driver.
Yeah, I think
I really do. Because the weird, I mean, it said disaster.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the end there, if you got to listen close, but it said gas business scene.
Mm-hmm.
So. Like he saw the gas business, which is a Sunoco right across the street.
Right, yeah.
And the reason, like in the beginning there, it says 15 feet between properties.
Yeah.
If you look at where that's at, 15 feet between the gas station and Tony Paco's would be the middle of the intersection.
Right. Yeah.
So that's why I'm thinking it was.
Yeah, that was really cool.
You know, so that's my opinion that we were talking to Tony Paco, the truck driver, and a local girl.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just my thoughts.
The lady. Ladies.
But I love it when we start having conversations like that with the obelisk and that. That was so cool.
And, you know, you just really are thankful that they had enough energy to come through and be able to, mm-hmm. you know, communicate with us. So that was really cool. Thank you to and all our little
it's funny
friends
because,
from the other side.
Yeah. When you talk to or get responses from the spirit,
mm-hmm.
it's always in like broken words and it's almost words that don't make sense.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if half the time, you know how like you're trying to think of the word you want to use and it comes out wrong,
mm-hmm.
you know, like I half wonder if something's lost in translation sometimes, mm-hmm. like, you know, maybe they at that time period that they lived used different wording than we did now. And, you know, yeah. something's mm-hmm. coming through and it maybe had a different meaning for them at the time, but they are trying to make sense of it or trying to communicate to us something different than what comes through.
That's but possible.
I just love the Avitlis. I think it's a great tool.
Yeah.
It's fun.
Weird because I think when you get responses, whether it be on the Avitlis or the spirit box
mm-hmm.
or stuff like that, it's always like one word. And like I said, it almost doesn't make sense. But I'm thinking that they're obviously on a different wavelength.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe it's difficult for them to communicate. And when they do communicate, it becomes broken.
Yeah.
So when we go on these investigations and we talk, do we sound like that to them?
You wonder if we sound like we're like through muffled water or something, yeah, you know, because they are on a different plane mm-hmm. or do they sound hear us normally?
Yeah.
We'll have to ask that question. That's a good question.
I've asked that before, but yeah. you know, it's tough because whenever I go on an investigation,
mm-hmm.
it's almost like the ghosts all run and go to a different side of the building than I'm in.
I don't know. I think they're starting to warm up to you, Joe, because, you know, it's just, I think maybe they could pick up on the frequency of a mm-hmm. skeptic or somebody who has like a positive, you know, aura attached yeah. around them. You know, maybe they, you know, if say, for example, when we go to the prison, that's a lot of negative energy.
Yeah.
Maybe, you know, you say you're ghost repelling, but,
mm-hmm.
you know, maybe they're just something's keeping that negative yeah. energy away from you so it doesn't attach to you.
And when we were at the Shanley Hotel, I got another Avitlis session
mm-hmm.
and I actually talked.
That was me. That wasn't a ghost.
I actually carried on a conversation again there
mm-hmm.
and got some amazing responses.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's just, I guess.
I think the more you do it, the more mm-hmm. they get comfortable.
Yeah.
They know that you're able to hear them.
And it's kind of the same thing. When we were at the Shanley, we were up in one of the bedrooms and it took a little while and all of a sudden, it's like I started getting responses and then the floodgates opened and you guys are going to, we're getting that show ready for you too.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. It's really cool.
It's like meeting, you know, whether you meet somebody in person, a live mm-hmm. person or a spirit, you have to gauge if you can trust them or not.
Yeah.
You know, you have to get to know them and then you have to say, okay, is this person trustworthy? Do I feel comfortable talking to them?
Yeah, and it's kind of weird because when I go and I meet people and like when I meet a nice redhead and I
nice.
Pull out the duct tape and I say, hey, I left something in my car. Would you come help me? They always run.
Oh,
I don't know why. God. They always run.
Oh, my gosh. Joe Bean.
So anyhow, if you guys please go back and listen to that Avitlis session a few times. And like I said, we were just blown away. One of the other things that happened, and we'll talk about this when we get Harold on the show eventually. He's in Put-in Bay partying it up this weekend, so he couldn't be on the show.
Fun.
Is when he reviewed his evidence,
mm-hmm.
there was a video of one of the chandeliers. Okay, there was, in the video, you can see three of the big chandeliers. They got mm-hmm. these giant, stained glass chandeliers.
Okay. Yeah.
Now, we did find out that they're fake, but they're so big, they still got to weigh a ton.
Mm-hmm.
One of the chandeliers started swaying.
Ooh.
And it's moving in the video, but the other two right next to it are not moving.
That's interesting because the air was off. I don't think the air was on that night.
Yeah, we had everything shut down.
Yeah.
So everybody was saying, oh, the wind blew it or that. But
there was no wind.
Butch
mm-hmm.
went back and he sat there in the restaurant and had dinner and sat there for, I think he said, an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours. And that chandelier never moved. There's no air vents around it. People walking by obviously are not going to cause the shake or swing like it did. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so when Togues does their reveal show, I'm sure they're going to put that in the video.
Yeah, that's cool.
That was really cool. Other than that, folks.
Well, I just want to add one thing.
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead.
I did actually get to go to Tony Paco's and eat dinner.
Oh, you did?
Afterward. Yes, I had a date.
That's paranormal.
I know. With my friend who came back to Toledo, who is part Hungarian, so he loves that food. And we went on a date, and the food was so amazing. I'm going back. I got to take mom and dad there. So anyways, I just had that. Add that in.
Okay.
And I want to give a shout out to somebody I want to give a shout out to Leslie in Texas. Hey, girl. Hey.
Texas.
Texas. She listens to our shows and she's amazing and fun. And hopefully she can come up to Michigan soon and hang out.
Michigan.
Well, we work together. She works in our Texas office.
I was going to say, is she going to come to Michigan Paracon?
Oh, that's coming up, Joe. So tell everybody where we're going to be.
August 24th through the 26th, we're going to be in Sault Ste. Marie at the Kawaden Casino. And I'm going to duct tape Jen to the chair so she does not play the slots.
Oh, my gosh. They have bingo there. They have bingo.
Oh, no.
Oh my God. I'm in so much trouble. I have to save all my money. But yes, it's great because Sault Ste. Marie is at the very top of the UP.
Yep. It's where Interstate 75 ends.
Oh my God.
So if you're in the Florida Keys and you want to come up, just get on 75 and head north.
Yeah. So
just keep going and you won't miss it.
It's going to be one of the biggest shows that I think it is the biggest show we've ever done. Everybody's going. Chip Coffee is going to be there. Amy Allen, Steve from the Dead Files, Josh Gates. What's the guy you listen to all the time?
Dave Schrader.
Dave Schrader. I can't even remember all the rest of them.
What's the guy's name with
Bobo?
Bobo's going to be there.
I can't wait to meet him.
The guy from Ancient Aliens with the eyebrows that stick way up. He's going to be there. I forget his name. But
I forget his name too. Legends. I wonder if that George guy is going to be there.
Probably.
With a hair.
I listen to Dave Schrader's show from last year when he was there, and it's like the Mecca. I don't know why it's in Sault Ste. Marie.
I'm just going to apologize to all the famous people right now because I'll be catcalling from our booth. Like, hey, Josh Gates, come be on my show.
I want to get Bobo on.
I do too. So, he's got to talk to us about some
Bigfoot.
Bigfoot stuff.
So, all right, that's what we're doing.
Yes.
That's our next big adventure is Michigan Paracon.
So come up to Sault Ste. Marie.
24th through 26th up in the UP.
Yes, I'm so excited because there's a lot of Bigfoot sightings up there, which we talked about on other shows.
Yeah.
And hauntings because,
you got to go through St. Ignace to get there, which is very haunted.
Yes.
Right over the Mackinac Bridge.
And the Edmund Fitzgerald.
Yep. That's off Whitefish Point, which is right there.
Yeah. So this is just going to be kind of like a really, really interesting vortex, having all of these paranormal people in one spot in the casino. I hope I win some money.
So
pay for our trip.
Gas money to get home.
Yeah, really. So please come out, buy a sticker, buy a book, so we have gas money to get home.
So with that, folks, we want to say goodbye. Hope you enjoyed the show today.
Yes, thanks for listening. Appreciate it. Make sure that you go wherever you get your podcast and leave us a positive rating review. Really helps us, hightail it up to the top of the ranks. Tell your friends, share our Facebook page. Come say hi to us on Facebook. Give us a like. Send us your ghost pictures. We want to see them. And we will talk to you next week.
We are off to the Gill House tonight.
Yes. We have an investigation tonight. We'll see you there.
All right. Thanks, folks. We'll see you next week.